The Reedley City Council meeting of Tuesday, November 25th. The time is 7 o'clock. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Tonight's invocation will be by Pastor Dennis Fast. Our pledge will be by Mayor Pro Tem Ray Solano. And will you please stand with me for the invocation and the pledge?
Good evening, Mayor and Council and staff. It's good to be with you. And I wish you a good evening of accomplishing everything that you set out to do. Thanks for your work. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that we can gather together as citizens of this town, of this city, and with those who serve us in this role, and we're going to thank you for them. Thank you for this beautiful season. We come to you, God, because we have needs. We need rain and snow. Our country needs you right now, Father, as there's so much unrest. Pray for the city of Ferguson, Missouri, the citizens and the people that are filled with emotion, but also for the law enforcement and leaders there, that peace might return and that just quietness could prevail very soon. God, we have a great country, and sometimes we take it so much for granted, and we want to just thank you for the freedom that we enjoy. The freedom to express ourselves and even freedom to protest at times. The freedom to lead, like our council is doing this evening and the staff. We thank you for them and their work. So as we pray when we gather, we ask that you grant them all the wisdom they need and insight. Thank you for the people that have come out tonight to present ideas and to listen and to share and to ask for assistance as well. I pray that all will go well, and we give this to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join the council in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Betancourt.
Here.
Councilmember Fast.
Here.
Councilmember Rodriguez.
Here.
Councilmember Solino.
Here.
Mayor Beck.
Here. Moving on to the agenda approval, is there any additions or deletions?
No staff. No, Mayor, there are none from staff.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Call for the question.
Councilmember Solino.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Fast.
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mayor Beck.
Yes. Item number one on presentations is the introduction of new police department dispatcher, Christina Munoz. Chief.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Christina, if you can join me at the podium, please. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I know you've had an opportunity to meet Christina as she was sworn in at our annual awards ceremony, so you had an opportunity to get to know her, at least hear about her, what she brings to this community and to our police department. But it is with great honor that I get to introduce her to the community as a whole. Christine Munoz, who is our newest police dispatcher. Christine comes with years of service in the dispatch role. She worked for the city of Selma, worked for the city of Orange Cove, and was, prior to coming to Reedley, was working at the Community Medical Center as one of their dispatchers. So Christine brings a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of experience that will definitely, and obviously from day one, since she started that day, she has absolutely just raised the level of service to this community. And so I am very, very proud and honored to bring someone on with her qualities and experience to this department, because I know she will serve us well and serve this community well. So with that, I'd like to just introduce Christine Munoz to you this evening. Photo op.
Thank you.
And welcome aboard, Christine.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Looking forward to have you here for many, many years.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you. Introduction of new administrative services accountant, Tiffany Quattro.
Tiffany, would you like to stand? Sure. Good evening, Mayor, City Council. It is my pleasure to come before you this evening to introduce you to our new full-time accountant, Tiffany Kudo. Tiffany is a graduate of the Fresno State Craig School of Business from the accountancy program and comes to us from the Michael Automotive Center in Fresno, where she worked for almost 7 years in roles of increasing responsibility in their business office. Tiffany comes to us after an exhaustive recruitment process and interview process where we had approximately 30 applicants that were subjected to multiple rounds of oral interviews and skills assessments and tests. Tiffany was married this last July to her husband, Chase, who is here this evening with her, as well as her mother. And they just got back from their honeymoon at Disney World. In fact, that's why she started so late, because she needed to go to Disney World. So I can't blame her. So we have Tiffany already working on several projects, and it's already proving to be a tremendous asset to the city. She's proven to be a very quick study, and she's already making a meaningful contribution here at the city. We're excited to have her here, and we'd like to extend her a warm Reedley welcome.
I thought she needed to give a speech.
We also look forward to working with you for another few years.
Okay. Welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard, yes.
And has Paul given you the diagram where all the thermostats are?
Touche, Mayor, touche. And the light switches.
Moving on to public comment. Provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the Council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is the policy of the Council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the City Manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Are there any public comment? Please come to the deal and state your name.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the council and everybody else. My name is Susan Lusk, and I'm here to talk. Sylvia, would you mind giving these out to the board members? Thank you. I'm here to talk to you about a project that I'm spearheading that's very close to my heart. It's called Wreaths Across America. Many years ago, there was a project to make sure there was a wreath on every grave site at the Arlington National Cemetery. Since then, this has become kind of a grassroots effort to cover every gravesite of a veteran at all the national cemeteries. And now there's a movement to cover every veteran who is at any cemetery. My son is at Reedley. Javier Behar is at Reedley. Matt Martinez is at Reedley. And they are the three most recent deaths of Iraq and Afghan war vets. So I've called everybody I know in Reedley. Every group, every church, everybody. I'm here to let you know what we're doing, and just to let you know that we are looking for wreaths, donations of wreaths, donations of money to buy wreaths, people to spread the word, and people to come out and help us lay the wreaths. I was amazed to discover we have 1,200 veterans buried at Reedley Cemetery. Wow. I want 1,200 wreaths. Whether we'll get them or not is another issue. This is the first year I'm trying something like this, but it is very important to me, and I believe it should be important to our community as well. So I thank you for your time, and I'm going to leave a whole pile of these, and if any of you would like them on your way out, would you please pick one up, spread the word. I don't do MySpace and all that stuff. I haven't figured it out yet, but those of you... But I'm in the wrong generation, but those of you that do, if you could spread the word that way, that would be super, and I'd appreciate any help we can get, and come on out and join us. If anybody knows anybody who donate hot chocolate, let me know. All right.
Susan,
thank you so very much for your time.
Can I ask you a quick question, Susan?
Sure.
You mentioned either donating wreaths or donating monies to purchase a wreath. What's the price you'd like to get?
You know, I did some checking. There are some stores that are offering them as low as $15. At Arlington, they are real. But I'll be honest, this first time out, I'll take whatever kind of wreaths I can get. I did specify a preference for a green wreath with a red ribbon. Which is what matches what's happening in Arlington. If we get those, fine. If I get something else, that's fine. That's fine too. So, I'll take whatever. Okay. Thank you so very much, Anita.
Yeah, I have a question. So, like, if we have relatives, then we can buy a wreath.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, are they real or artificial?
Well, like I said, real would be preferred because that mimics Arlington, but. Artificial is fine. People might not be able to get wreaths. I know there's a time constraint here because it's December 13th, and that's done across the nation on December 13th at 11 a.m.
So if they are artificial, does a family pick them up afterwards?
That's going to be my job. During December and on January, they do not mow, and so we may leave them on for that period of time. My two sons don't know it yet, but they're going to be helping me pick them up.
And so you'll keep them, and I mean you'll.
We'll probably keep the fake ones, and discard the real ones because they won't last. I'm not sure where I'm going to put them, but I'll find a place.
Okay, so you'll store them.
This is our first year out, I would like to try to continue it. And I know I've gone over time, and thank you for your time.
That's nice.
Thank you so much.
Very nice.
Great idea.
All right. Can I leave these with you?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Oh, and I apologize for leaving, but I'm going to the Kings Canyon hearing session next, so thank you and have a good evening.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Any further public comment?
Hi, I'm Sherry Wiedenhofer, address 1010 G Street for the MCC office. I am here to say thank you to the City Council for your amazing good work and for the partnership we've been able to have with the Police Department in the City of Reedley. So in 2011, we started Reedley Peace Building Initiative. In 2009, we started together a victim service unit so that we could have victims served in a one-stop shop. So I just thought tonight would be an opportunity, since it's Thanksgiving, for Chief and I to say thank you. This is who we're saying thank you from. 169 juvenile offenders that have had the opportunity to go through a mediation process. We want to say thank you from them and their families. We want to say thank you from 40 victims that have been able to be served and have things made as right as possible instead of going through a justice system. I want to thank you from the 65 trained volunteer mediators that we have that are serving this community, school teachers, all kinds of folks from across the community that are serving that have been trained in the last 2 years, and 27 RPBI community service agencies that are taking kids for their community service hours. I'm sure you've heard some of these numbers, but as a result of RPBI, out of the 169 cases, only 10 people have reoffended, which is less than 6% of reoffending. And we know that long-term, they will likely stay out of the juvenile justice and the justice system. 75% of reductions in juvenile felony crimes here at the PD, 40% reduction in juvenile misdemeanor crimes here at the PD, and Reedley High School has seen a 42% reduction in out-of-school suspensions, 87% reduction in expulsions, probably our biggest number, because they don't end up on the streets. We also want to thank you from the Victim Service Collaborative. There are 22 agencies that serve this community basically on their own time. They come in from Fresno County. We lost a lot of our services years ago. They meet once a month here, and they meet for free because anybody that partners with our agencies up in the 1010 G Street office there doesn't pay for their services. So we have agencies from Fresno Pacific Counseling Services to Marjorie Mason Center to Rape Counseling Services, 22 agencies that have access to our office to provide free counseling services. So we want to thank you for allowing that opportunity. 684 victims were referred to partner agencies. 739 victim service hotline calls and walk-ins happened. We started a hotline, confidential hotline up there. And we've had 739 victims served through that hotline. Mm-hmm. 1,651 victim services were provided in our office through these partner collaboratives in the last year and a half. And we just wanted to say thank you for that. So we're upstairs, so when you come down and you see our victim service office, we're upstairs, and people can walk up and get served, and we have someone there Monday through Friday. And downstairs, you know, we have our little cafe and quilt shop, so we're doing our best downtown, but we really want to thank you for your service, Chief.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council and the community, on behalf of the police department, it's been a pleasure to partner with MCC and also Kings Canyon Unified School District. It truly has been a partnership and a collaboration. There is absolutely no way that the police department could have done this alone. And one of the things that I tell people is that in order to deal with crime, in order to deal with conflict in our community, we have to come together as a community. This police department is part of this community, and the community is part of the police department. So that's the only way that we can deal with these problems. You know, I wish that other people could take our examples and deal with conflict in the same way. You know, obviously, you know, across the United States, there's conflict. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and wouldn't it have been nice for a lot of this conflict to have been dealt with in this type of fashion? So it's just something that, you know, I truly believe that it has worked for our community. It will continue to work, and it is something that I will continue to support. You know, as long as we have those folks that are willing to partner with us and join us hand in hand and stand side by side to deal with the problems in our community. So again, from the police department, thank you to Sherry and MCC, to Mr. Garza and Kings Canyon Unified School District, to our city manager, who obviously supports, you know, the police department's endeavors and is a true believer in what we're doing, and to the city council for your, you know, allowing us to continue, you know, in this effort. So, like Sherry said, thank you to you and to the community at large, because they are truly the backbone of what we do. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much, and right. Thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm. Comments?
Well, I just want to say thank you very, very much, because I know it's a lot of work. It's been a couple of years that you started, and if we can help our kids, you know, stay out of the system, and come together, like you say, it's the people here in the community that help each other and our kids. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
I just want to comment you on a 94% success rate. That's the secret right there. That's unreal. So being in the business for many years, I understand that completely. So,
thank you. Thank you, sir.
And just along with that, it's a unique community to have all of those partners. Those numbers that you see represent such a large scope of people in this community that are committed to the work that we do here. So thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Is there any further public comment? Not, we'll move on to consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change a recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Would anyone like to remove item on 3 to 11?
I would like to remove item 6. And item 9, please.
Anyone else?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Yeah, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Okay, moving on to item number 6, adopt resolution number 2014-096. Modifying the policy and procedure for the selection of the mayor or mayor pro tem and rescinding resolution number 2011-13.
I would just like to move to pull this item and to see if we can put that on our January calendar to address some of the concerns regarding this item.
Okay. Do I have a second for removing item six?
Move to second.
Okay, call for the question.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Shalino?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. So six is removed. Moving on to item number nine. Authorized documents pertaining to a sports park master plan revision. And Mr. Glick?
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. Here to answer any questions you may have on this item.
I just wanted to confirm that I like this idea that we're going to go back out and kind of redraw our area out there. But I wanted to ask, are we going to be getting like input from the staff when they come to begin their discussions, or how does that work?
It'll be a public meeting. We'll have a kickoff meeting, and we also have a second meeting planned in here for public discussion. So it'll be a public meeting workshop type, and there'll be input from the public, staff, and council if you'd like to attend.
The goal really is that we would start with providing them the minutes of the joint meeting that we had so that they understand what's prompted this change in the sports park master plan. We'll have a kickoff meeting with staff so that we can further explain some of the comments that came up in the joint meeting, and then the public workshop that would incorporate community member comments. Now, Mr. Solano did bring up a great point to me yesterday on the pricing for this proposal and some of the pricing associated with the public workshops, and we do believe we could shave some dollars off of this proposal as we go through this process if we do a lot of these meetings ourselves and mm-hmm. With just a few staff members. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. Any further questions?
Well, I'm very much in favor of seeing the sports park move forward and use some of that dirt that's out there just sitting collecting weeds. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Any further comment from the dais? Any public comment? Okay, do I have a motion?
I'll so move to approve.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Solino?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Moving on to item number 12. Approve mayor's nomination to fill one commissioner and one alternate commissioner vacancy on the Commission on Aging and one commission vacancy on the Airport Commission.
And Mayor, I don't know if you see any
yes.
of the, yes, okay, good, we have some present. So we did have some vacancies on our commissions, and we had recently done a public call out for applications for these commissioners, and so we had reused the applications or had taken into consideration some of the applications we had received in that call out. So the staff provided those to the mayor. He did interview and has selected Don Zavala for the Commission on Aging with alternate Commissioner Sharon Wall. And then for the Airport Commission held by David Ritchie, we would like to reappoint him as Airport Commissioner.
Okay, any questions? Mr. Zavala, would you like to make a comment or anything to the council?
Yes, I would. Thank you. Three words. I'm surprised, I'm humbled, and I'm thankful and honored to serve the City of Reedley, City Council, and all the seniors in the City of Reedley. I will do my best for all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Don? Mr. Zavala? First of all, I want to thank you for all your service, because this is not new to you. You've been helping for quite a while over at the community center, and it's kind of nice for to see you get involved and be a part of our commission now. And I think you're going to bring some positive information to our council, or to the commission. And I think you're going to be an asset, Mr. Zavala.
I know I will, and I'll do my best. Thank you. And it takes a special qualification for this age.
That's great.
Any further comment? Any comment from the public? Do I have a motion on item number 12? Move to approve.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Item number 13, adoption of documents pertaining to unrepresented employees' compensation and contributions to the California Public Employees Retirement System. And there's three items on this. Mr. Malikian.
Good evening again, Mayor, City Council. The three items before you are a mirror image of what you saw 1 year ago. And it is essentially the second phase of a two-phase process to phase in the pension contributions for unrepresented employees, of which we have 29, I believe, in the city. Last January, we implemented the first phase, which essentially phased in 50% of the employee contribution for the CalPERS pension. The employee share of the pension benefit is 7% of wages. The employer share is currently about 12.9%. Prior to this past January, the city paid 100% of the 12.9% and the 7%. The employer share changes every year, up or down. So with what we did this past January, the employees began paying 3.5% of the 7%. So essentially half of the employee contribution. That was offset by a cost of living increase that resulted in an approximate 1% increase in take-home pay for the unrepresented employees. The item before you this evening essentially asks to do the very same thing, to increase the pension contributions, the last 3.5%, to where employees are contributing 100% of their share, also offset by a 5% cost of living increase, which results in an approximate 1% increase to their take-home pay. For all of the employees, depending upon where their salary range is, it results in approximately $10 per pay period, all the way up to, say, $20 per pay period net increase in take-home pay. So it's not a large amount, but it does offset the impact of now contributing another 3.5% of their wages towards the pension benefit. So the items before you this evening, the first one is an actual CalPERS required resolution that eliminates the city paid member contributions for pension purposes. We filed this last year stating that employees would pay half of it. Now this would amend that again to say that employees are paying 100% of the employee share. Sort of an interesting factoid, there's been some news coverage on this very topic. And the last article I saw was in, I believe, the Sacramento Bee. The controller, John Chang, came out with a statistic that there are fewer than 100 public agencies left in California that still have public agencies paying the employee share. So we're definitely in the minority. We're not the only ones by any stretch of the imagination. There's at least 100 other agencies out there. But so by us phasing this in, we are joining the majority of other public agencies in California. The second item before you this evening is revising the salary and benefit schedule for the unrepresented employees to make the changes necessary to codify the change in pension contributions. It also makes a couple of other minor changes One is a housekeeping issue to add the staff accountant position to the salary and benefit schedule. It was included in the budget and was also included in the salary table, but during the budget build process, it was inadvertently left out of the salary and benefit schedule. So this just adds that position formally. And then the last minor change that we are requesting from the council is to move the cell phone stipend, which was established, I believe, a year and a half ago. And it was just established for the executive management employees to basically move it to a general stipend that would be available to any unrepresented employee that received permission from the city manager to receive a cell phone stipend. And this is only available to employees who currently have a city cell phone for business purposes and would like to do away with their city cell phone and use their personal phone for city business. We ran some of the numbers on this, and this benefit actually saves the city money because we're no longer paying the monthly the minutes and the data fee, but we're also not incurring the cost to replace that phone every couple years or if it's inadvertently damaged. So we're actually money ahead, and the employees that do participate, there's currently just four, so it's not like everybody's getting it right now. There's just four management employees that are getting the stipend, but it's very convenient for those employees because they're not having to lug around two phones. And we're only expecting maybe two, maybe three additional employees that would request the stipend at this time. But on the initial rollout, we were very conservative and just opened it up to a small number of employees. We feel now that it's an appropriate time to request the approval from the council to open it up to other supervisory type of employees. And like I said, just maybe two or three. And there's just four right now that are getting the stipend. So that's the second resolution. The third resolution would be to revise the master salary table for all city employees. However, the changes are just in for unrepresented, and it would just be to grant a 5% straight across COLA for all of the salary classes, all the classifications that are in the unrepresented salary schedule, and that would create the offsetting COLA for the pension contribution. Just a few numbers for you, if you will, this evening. The annual cost is approximately $48,000 that's spread across 30 funds within the city. The cost to the general fund is approximately $23,000, and that is for the entire year. What I'm very happy to report is that the guidance from the SJVIA, that's the San Joaquin Valley Insurance Authority, that's where the city gets its medical coverage from now. They provided guidance to all the cities and counties to budget for 10% increase in medical premiums this year. We, when the SJVIA board met in August, they voted to only increase premiums 1.17% for 2015.
Wow.
Nobody is seeing a 1% increase in medical premiums except for SJVIA members. So that's a definite coup for the city of Reedley for moving in that moving away from CalPERS. I can't guarantee a 1% increase for 2016, but we do have it for 2015. But the savings between what we budgeted for, the 10%, and what we're actually seeing, the 1%, the savings this year is about $67,000. So because that 10% was just budgeted for a half year. So that savings in the medical premiums more than covers the cost of the impact to the city of doing what's before you this evening with the pension contributions on the COLA. It's completely covered, and in fact, we'll have savings left over after that. So we're very happy about that information. This also, this item before you sort of completes what we feel is an important policy objective of having employees pay for their own pensions. Also puts our salaries more on par with our surrounding communities. When we go out for job openings, many times the applicants are just looking at the top line. They're not doing all the analysis on the full that dollar value equates to. They're just not doing it in most cases. So by increasing the salaries, but also putting us on par with other communities, Most other communities require employees to contribute their pensions. Then we don't look as off base from other communities. I'm not saying it puts us on par, nor is this intended to, but it does move us in that direction without any noticeable impact to our fund balances. And if there's any questions, I would love to have them.
I always look at the physical impact of any item. And when you're saving money, that's always a positive. And the only other question I'd like to ask is, when we're dealing, just like in the past, when you're dealing with employees and you're making changes, employees are okay with these changes?
The city manager.
We have not had any problems?
No, in fact, we held a session with our unrepresented employees just to make sure that they knew what we were going to do, and they were overall very happy with it. I mean, their biggest concern was they'd like to see, instead of just the 1% COLA that they'll end up with, they obviously wanted to see a little more than the 1%. But they're fine with the pension kicking. And in fact, several of the folks who are closer to retirement are very thankful that the council has made this move, because it does increase the pensionable compensation upon which their pension is based. So we have a group of folks who are quite pleased to move in this direction. And not a single person. We offered to meet individually if anyone had concerns, or in this group setting. No one has come up to us with any concerns. So we're confident we're moving in a direction that employees are comfortable with.
Good. And the reason I'm asking is because from 2011, when you folks came in, how the economy was and where the city was at the time. And now we're making some changes. And I know that sacrifice that the employees made in those years, that we're willing to come back and increase what they need to have. And I think if they're agreeable to it, I have no problem at all.
We're very thankful that we have the employee group we have, because you're right, they did make sacrifices for this agency in pay concessions and furloughs. And they went through that with us, and now on the opposite side, they're well aware that we could hit another economic blip in a couple years, so we don't want to raise salaries mm-hmm. to the point that it's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. So we're stepping into this slowly. You know, Sanger, for instance, just asked their police employees to provide 100% of the employee contribution on their pension, but they did not offset that with any salary. So their PD employees are taking quite a hit because they're now paying their own pension costs. So we're asking employees to pick up 100% of that pension cost, but right now offsetting that with salary. So, yeah.
Great. Further comment?
I have a couple of questions. For those employees that will be with the city for years to come, the contribution that's expected, is that going to increase?
The employee contribution right now is set at 7%. It's been 7% for a very long time. The employer share changes every year, and it usually trends upward, especially with the losses in the investment and CalPERS has seen. But with the economy starting to come back, we're not expecting quite the level of increases that we've seen the last couple of years, but still trending upward. But the employee share, the 7%, I believe unless we change our contract with PERS, I think it stays at 7%. So the answer is no. It would stay at this level.
Okay.
Anything else? Any other questions? Any comment from the public? Do I have a motion on item 13?
Move to approve.
Just second. To be clear, that there's three items. So.
Oh yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Can we just
You can do them individually, or if the motion maker wants to make it clear that it's A, B, and C, that's fine too.
I would like all three, A, B, and C.
And we have a second on that. Okay. Call for the question.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Fass.
Yes.
Mayor Beck.
Yes. Moving on to item number 14, resolution number 2014-97, affirming previous council action related to land use and authorize a city annexation application be submitted to the Local Area Formation Commission, subject to Cortez Knox Local Government Reorganization, Government Code Section 5600, for real property AP number 365. 18123, located at northeast corner of Reed and Floral Avenues. Mr. Fabino.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Believe me, if I could have, I would have. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Kevin Fabino, Community Development Department. As the mayor has just stated before you this evening, is resolution 2014-97. It is asking you to affirm previous action of the council related to land uses, as well as submit an annexation application to LAFCO. There we go. So to kind of walk you through history a little bit, in 2004, a single-family residential project was brought to the city. There were a number of entitlements, and the project basically involved the development of 209 single-family homes. The design components of that subdivision included 93-acre lot planned unit development, a 5-acre lake, 1-acre open space, and 116 single-family dwelling units. Those are standard city lots at that time, which are basically 6,000 square feet. I'd also note that on the map there are several outlots which were identified for future development. This is that proposed subdivision, if you will, referred to as track map number 5452. You'll notice a couple of things. On the upper left-hand corner, there's an area on the left-hand side, which would be the northwesterly area of the subdivision. That area was left vacant for multiple family to be developed at some point. This area you might recognize also, as we've affectionately referred to it as a triangle, and we've discussed that matter, and we'll discuss it here in a few minutes. That diagonal piece that you see that runs through the lake is actually the alt irrigation ditch that is existing on that property today, and is actually serves as the boundary between the two properties. The property to the left is approximately 19 acres, which you are well aware of, and the property to the right, which is owned by the Croslands, is approximately 57 acres. Again, as I mentioned, in 2004 and eventually what ended up in 2008 before the City Council approved numerous resolutions. But the resolutions that we're really concerned about are resolution 2007-081, and that actually adopted the initial study in the mitigated neg deck, as we often refer to as CEQA. It also authorized the application to go before LAFCO, which is the Reed Floral Reorganization application. It proposed to change the general plan, change the zoning, approve the tentative track map, which you just saw up on the screen, and approve the conditional use permit. The ensuing resolution 2007-082, actually requested the LAFCO to reorganize and annex the subject property into the city. Kind of moving along, per the direction of the council, a city annexation application was submitted to LAFCO. LAFCO did consider that matter and approve the annexation subject to conditions. That approval occurred on June 4th of 2008 through LAFCO resolution R008-9. Since 2008 to kind of June of 2014, the applicant, as required under LAFCO rules or the Knox-Cortese reorganization statutes of the California law, the applicant is required to submit a request to the LAFCO board annually to extend the time period for which they have to complete the annexation. As the council is well aware, on June 4th of 2014, the developer let the approval for the annexation expire, basically extinguished that application. That moment in time was actually what created the impetus for lots of discussion the council is aware of, and the city engaged in purchasing the subject property, or the 19 acres, to construct and operate the fire training facility and the ponding basin. And as you might recall, the construction of the training facility was to ensure that our citizenry is well protected with a well-trained fire protection services. We also talked about the construction of the ponding basin and its implementation of the general plan 2030. That's all moving along as we've been in conversation over the last several months. On September 19th of 2014, the subject property was transferred to the possession of the city. In order for the city to proceed with the development of the subject property, the city must submit an application to LAFCO for the annexation. Again, this is the APN map. What you see highlighted on that map is in yellow is what the city currently owns. That's the 19 acres. That is the future home of not only the ponding basin, but the training center, as well as the other 3-acre parcel that will be sold off. So you're kind of wondering probably a couple things related to land use. The changes from what was originally proposed under tentative tract map 5452, is that consistent with the land uses under the general plan 2012 and the Reedley Municipal Service, Reedley Municipal Code, and it is. So if you kind of think back in time moving forward, that application was consistent with those guiding documents, and that's why they got approved. Since those resolutions were passed in that time frame back in February 2008, those resolutions are still in effect today. Development has not moved forward. The City Council has not reconsidered or amended or rescinded any of those resolutions, so they are in fact in force today. So one of the things you might want to think about, and some of the things that we've been thinking about, is, gee, we have a change from that single family residential development to what is now public facilities or the training center or the ponding basin. And so yes, those two land uses are consistent with the general plan that you just approved. It's also consistent with the municipal code as well. The newly proposed projects for which we bought the 19 acres would in fact also reduce potential environmental impacts caused by development, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. So let's talk about CEQA, because that's, you know, something we always talk about when we have projects, development projects in front of us. So you're just for the council's comfort. Originally with the project, the initial study and the negative declaration was produced and prepared in compliance with CEQA, which was approved by the council. And that was memorialized in one of the previous resolutions that I had discussed. And it was also determined, it has also been determined that the environmental setting has not significantly changed from when that was originally approved to today. So today, back in 2008, we have very similar conditions, meaning to the west, we have the existing farmlands. There's the blueberry patch. There's the the cemetery. To the north, we have Palm Village. To the east, we have the vacant lands that are there. Yes, soon to be the school districts, but they will be on their own environmental pathway in the near future. It should also be noted that the orchards that are to the south, which are the boundary of the Tulare County line, are still there, and so really environmentally it has not changed. Potentially the project would minimize or significantly reduce potential impacts that were previously identified by virtue of the fact of the development of our 19 acres would in fact reduce or eliminate the construction of 45 single-family homes or dwelling units and 56 multiple-family dwelling units. The council could feel very comfortable in that with your recent approval of the general plan. The general plan and the associated EIR also again revisited and restudied the very issue, the development of this property and its land uses. I can stand before you and tell you that it's been determined that no effect could occur that was either identified or analyzed in this EIR, that and that no new additional mitigation measures would be required. Therefore, it's staff's contention that no new environmental documents would be needed at this time to proceed. That being said, let me just kind of throw one other thing out there. You might be asking, like, why is staff asking us to reaffirm something that happened in 2007 and an old project and changing? To be quite honest with you, it was something that occurred in 2007. A number of years have gone by, water under the bridges, we'd say. And as we always try to be as transparent with both you and the general public about how we proceed, and because it's in our interest to develop our own property, we felt like it'd be really important to come back and ask the council to reaffirm the previous council's decisions, which again are still in effect, that hasn't changed, and to also direct staff to submit to LAFCO city annexation application. Therefore, through resolution 2014-097, it would be accomplishing, if approved, those three things: the affirmation of resolution 2007-81, and I won't read all of it, the affirmation of resolution 2007-82, and authorizing and directing staff to submit the application for the 19-acre parcel consistent with the Knox-Cortese local government reorganization statutes. That concludes staff's report. I'm more than happy to answer any questions you might have. Thanks.
Comments?
Kevin, going back to LAFCO approval, on June 4th, 2014, developer let the approved annexation application expire for the project that we spent an awful lot of time working with and approving, and people have been asking what happened. And I don't have an answer, a real answer, and because there were people that were looking at buying homes around the lake, there no more. So what kind of answer can I give? What happened? Is it two property owners? Is that right?
That's when under tentative tract map 5452, basically there were two entities, the Crosland family and the Quiring General, that worked together to develop that property as a whole. We have now since, with the expiration of the annexation, we stepped in, we bought those 19 acres. The Croslands or anybody could buy, if you will, those paper lots that are still available under the tentative tract map. There most likely would need to be some redesign. But for the most part, it's up to that family to move that project forward. They would have to go through an annexation process, and they would also have to go through a final map process. So the project is not ready to be built as of today. There's still more processing to be done.
I think to go back to the why it didn't happen, though, is a relevant question to ask. And in developments like this, it's not uncommon for developments to go awry over the course of years. And you may recall the time frame that this development was anticipated to go through was right when that economic downturn hit.
Right.
And Kevin and I did have several lunch conversations with Quiring about moving forward, and there were some significant restraints. One of them was the economy. The other was that Alta irrigation ditch. And so when they actually looked at having to underground that ditch, the length of that ditch, their project didn't pencil out with profitability anymore. So there were some real reasons why that development didn't occur, not unlike what Fresno saw with the Running Horse development and with some that you see in Sanger that are half built. When that economy dropped out, a lot of developments fell under. So.
And that was my next question. Did the canal have anything to do with it?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions? Any comment from the public? None. To have a motion on item number 14.
I'll make a motion to approve the three items. Item affirm resolution item 2007-081, affirm resolution number 2007-082, and authorize our staff to submit annexation to LAFCO.
Thank you.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Solino?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Receive information and reports. These are formal transmittal of information to the Reedy City Council. They're not voted upon by the Reedy City Council. Members of the public who have questions, the items are suggested to call city staff members during regular business hours. 15 and 16 are minutes. Is there any questions from the council on those items?
Mayor, the only thing I'd like to point out is on the minutes of the Planning Commission regular meeting, it says October 15th. That should say October 16th.
Okay. Mine says 16, so. Dope, any other questions? If not, report, council reports. Brief report by council members on city-related activities authorized by the Brown Act and requested for future agenda items. Mr. Rodriguez, we'll start with you tonight.
A couple of things I'd like to report on. One, earlier this month, we had the community rails to trail cleanup. We had some of our youth in our community show up to be part of that, which I thought was great, because then they just demonstrate a little bit more appreciation and they understand what we're trying to sustain, you know, for the public, for the entire community. I wish there would have been a few more people showing up, but anyway, it was a respectable turnout. Also, on that very same day, they dedicated the mural that the young man drew on the C train. And he got up and shared, you know, a few words and so forth. He put a lot of work into that, and he did it during the summer months where it was really hot. Because, you know, from what I understand, he did most of that work at night. And so, you know, really appreciated his efforts. The mayor represented our city and expressed his gratitude and a big thank you to all of the organizations that have been involved in maintaining the trail. So hopefully that will continue. I think it looks a whole lot better, you know, a year later. And I'm hoping that more and more people will be part of that. The second thing is, and it was talked about earlier today, or someone mentioned that, attended the annual police award ceremony, which I thought was great. I think anytime any municipality can thank those people that serve their community and the county and the state and so forth, that's deeply appreciated by law enforcement. A lot of times people think it's just a job, but it's just a real risk that these people take day in and day out, you know, just to protect our community. And then a lot of times, you know, just to extend themselves in helping our children and our community, senior citizens, and so forth. So thank you very much, Chief, and your staff for putting that together. The only thing I want to say with that is I think we need a new public address system. You know, I think that's a little faulty. And I think when we do things like that, you know, everyone wants to listen, you know, and have that message clearly expressed and so forth. But again, we want to thank all of our police department, our fire department, you know, they're first responders also. So we want to thank both of the people that we have serving as chief in that capacity. They do a tremendous job. The last thing, this is a request. I think this past summer we had a group from a neighboring community. I think we had a few people from Reedy that were part of that group that addressed the council and requesting some form of donation for the Vietnam Wall that they're going to construct in our neighboring community, which is Dinuba. My understanding is, I've talked to a few folks, that I guess they've been able to generate enough revenue to give some sort of the first significant payment and so forth, but they're still, you know, wanting some assistance with that. I think, you know, it's not just so much helping Dinuba. For me, in my mind and in my heart, it's it's just another way of expressing, you know, our sincere gratitude and honoring, you know, those servicemen and servicewomen that lost their lives in Vietnam, including the names that we have here with our monument here in front of the City Hall. I know that there's been all strenuous effort from different organizations to get some of those folks and fly them over to Washington so they can see the wall there. But there's some folks that either they don't fly, they don't like to fly, they're too old to have that type of trip, where I think that this particular project, you know, would at least give them an opportunity to go here, here in the valley, you know, and see that wall once it's, you know, it's constructed. And I think the last thing I want to say is just another way of honoring those people that paid the ultimate price. I know that a lot of us have relatives that served in the service. I know I did. You know, my father-in-law, to my uncle, to both of my brother-in-laws and so forth, and I lost classmates that were in the Nam War. So for me, it becomes critical that anything that we can do as Americans, anything we can do as a community to honor these people is something that would be constructed and would be there for a very long time, because you would have our family, Sharon Reedley, whether they'd be existing families, their grandkids, their great-grandkids, to go see the names of those people. That, you know, it wasn't by choice in some cases. You know, they were drafted and they were told, you know, this is what you're going to do. And that's why we sit here tonight and conduct business, because those people fought, you know, for us, so we could continue to have the freedoms that we have in this country. And boy, do we have a lot of freedom, and I'm so thankful. So I would like to see this to come back to our council as an agenda item. I'm requesting that. And I'd like to see it on our agenda sometime in December.
We certainly can do that, Mr. Rodriguez. Under our council protocols, if there is a second on the dais right now, we can then put it on the December 9th agenda.
Do I need to make a motion on that?
If you want to put it in the formal, in the...
Okay, because you're saying the second.
Well, and Ms. Betancourt just raised your hand, so that works for me.
Okay.
That's essentially a motion and a second.
Let me just, I'd like to have it formally, though. So I'd like to make a motion to... set on our agenda in December the contribution towards the Dai Nu Ba Vietnam Memorial, the wall.
Didn't we deal this once before?
We had brought it on the agenda and then it was tabled.
It was tabled.
So there was no vote on it, in other words.
Right, because we tabled it because they were going to try and get a hold of the Vietnam veterans to see what they thought about it.
The local.
Yeah, and I did have the opportunity to get a hold of them,
uh-huh.
And they're in support of this.
Okay.
I have run across several of them, so as far as any conflict or anything like that, that has been taken care of. And I sat down and had a long talk with one of the members, and in fact, there are several of them that are going to be personally involved in giving some donations to this particular item. So. We have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, I'll have
and
a
there,
second.
And there need be no vote tonight on this, but that satisfies our council protocols, and so we will bring it back on December 9th. Yeah.
Okay. Rick, you have anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to support it because I know it was removed from the agenda, but I never knew quite why. It was never was brought back, but I think it's really important that we support, we give money to other things that, and this is something that's gonna be there for, like, except for our families and our grandkids so they can see it. My dad and my uncles served, you know, in the service, and, you know, starting from way back, if it wasn't been for our veterans, they've given so much, and I think this is so little that we could do for them if we can help it and support it. I think it's a very wonderful project. So, and also too, I went to the awards breakfast was nice to have the breakfast afterwards. Before, with at the park, and then they kind of, everybody just mingled, and but it was really nice to sit down and actually in the families too, that they could sit and with their kids and eat, and it was just really nice. It was very nice, and our explorers looked so nice all lined up for that. We also had our Thanksgiving dinner at the Jefferson School this year again, and it was also put on by the people that served at your breakfast, Ken and Kimberly Baker. I keep mixed up. Anyway, they also have helped with our Jefferson. They were the ones that came up with the idea and got the donations to serve. And last year, I think we had like about 300. This year, I think it was double. It was close to 600 people that we served and families that night. And it was nice because a lot of the families were throughout the community, and they got to sit down with their neighbors and have a meal. And that was very nice. And the explorers also helped to see them and put them when it came time to serve. So it was nice to see them up there helping us out too. So anyway, it was very nice. So that's it.
Ray?
Oh, yes. And the awards, it was a nice evening in the morning to see the awards banquet to officers that well deserve those awards. That was nice. And had a chance to attend the Reedy High School Water Polo Championship on Saturday. We played against Hanford, and it was a close game right to the end, and Reedy prevailed at 75 victory. Mm, yeah. So that was good. Mm. And that's all I have.
Okay, Mary?
I also attended the Police Awards, and they had a retirement thing for Marcy Favello that day, and again, somebody's worked for our city for 29 years and basically put her life into this city, and I think she'll be one that will give back in years to come. But it was just neat to see the roar as she came walking up, and all the officers stood in attention for her, and it's usually, I think, been the other way around, so that was kind of a neat deal. I also attended the Groundwater Land Use Symposium up in Clovis, where we were talking about water and ways to save the water that we do have. Attended the Halloween Family Fun Night at the Reed-Lumenite Brethren Church, and was glad to see the police, fire departments there, and the explorers helping, and also Sequoia Safety Council brought their ambulance there too. A little bit inclement weather, but we got through it. Also attended the Emmanuel annual fundraising dinner and auction a couple of weeks ago, and I was driving to Brad's aunt's house this last weekend and saw the gal out there working on those little electrical boxes doing her painting. So I rolled down the window and chatted with her at the stoplight as we were waiting to go. But she was pretty excited. And when I had gone over there, I saw that thing, and I just kind of looked at it, and I thought, oh, somebody must be having something. That's really pretty. And then I realized when I came back what it was. And it really does brighten up that corner. So I wasn't too excited about it at first.
You approved it.
Yeah. but yeah, I think it'll be kind of cool as she does different ones different ways. It'll be fun to see, and it does brighten up the area. It really definitely does. And I, lastly, I just wanted to say to all of you, have a very good Thanksgiving, exactly. And remember the reason for the season, and be thankful. We have a lot to be thankful for in this valley.
Okay. That's all I have. I had an opportunity to, I was invited to, help me out here, Paul. St. Shahag Misrobe Apostolic Armenian Church 90th birthday. And they put on a great program that day. In fact, they had a bishop. They had a new bishop that day. But that was a nice service, and it lasted. Let me tell you, you guys know how to celebrate. 3 hours. And great food, great stories. I tell you, the fathers there know how to relate to their congregation, and it was a great time I had there. So, and I was honored. I got to read the proclamation while I was there. So, and it was a great deal. I also was with Councilman Rodriguez at the Rails to Trails dedication here, and if you get a chance, you need to go by that C train and take a look at that. That is quite a job, and as he said, I believe a lot of that work was done at nighttime. And in fact, I think they blew a breaker or two down on the system and had to work by portable generated lighting out there. So, but the young man, I believe it was Robert Rawson, did the work on that, and he did a great job. Also had a meeting with the Five Cities Economic Board. We lost 3 members this last time due to elections and a retirement. We lost Mayor Lopez out of Parlier. We lost Councilman Pardo out of Orange Cove, and Judy Case, obviously, McNary is retiring. So we'll be replacing and having almost half our boards almost being replaced there this year. So also had an opportunity to be at the Readipedia Awards, and yes, it was nice inside and warm. No chilly early morning at the river. And it was, I really enjoyed getting to see Marcy. I had an opportunity, I worked with Marcy. Joey and I, Chief Garza and I were just talking. We're getting to be kind of thin as who was left when we were first come onto the department. I think you said there's 2?
After Marcy leaves, there'll only be 2 that have been there longer than I have.
Yeah. And Marcy was one of the few I worked with, and the 2 you're talking about, I worked with them also. So it's starting to show you're getting long in the tooth there, Chief. also had a COG meeting this last week, and part of this I'm going to defer to the city manager on, and it's with the RTMF work that they're doing. It's about a 5-year, they have to every 5 years, by state, I guess, by California law, that they have to revisit these funds, because depending on transit locations that they build heads for people to be able to access the property, what they have to pay can change significantly. So, and thanks to our city manager and the city manager out of Selma, that they have got a 2-year turnaround check on this so that we don't lose funding or fees from these transits when the bus transit stops are built, can change how much fees they can collect from these areas because of the impact, and because if it's in certain distance they can walk, so they get a significant reduction. So with what our city manager did, they stepped it up a notch to make sure we don't fall into losing fees. So I think it's pretty important, and I think she'll fill in on that when we get to it. Regarding Mr. Rodriguez bringing up the vets and it being tabled, is one of the problems was I was having trouble getting a hold of several of the members because they were kind of shut down for the summer, and I finally got a hold of Ruben Perez, in fact, is who I finally cornered. And they have been contacted by the Dynamo Group, and they're all on the same page, and everything's going good. And like I said, of all people, Ruben lost a brother during Vietnam, and he and several other members are going to be funding some themselves. But they are going to try to make it, and I told them to keep in touch with me. They're going to try to be here at the time if this gets on the agenda again. So we'll have some representation from our local vets. Good. Okay? And that's all I have. And I'll turn it over to you, City Manager.
Why don't I start with the RTMF Nexus study? This was very, very controversial in COG. When a developer comes in to do a development in any of the 15 cities in Fresno County or in Fresno County, they pay the local development impact fees. Those are DIF fees. They pay school impact fees, depending on what kind of development. They may have other fees from other places, but they also pay an RTMF, which is a regional transportation mitigation fee. And this fee was put in place under the Measure C program, and it's to pay for things like freeway interchanges that don't fall under any particular jurisdiction. So it's to make development pay its own way for regional transportation projects. Very controversial because it's an extraordinarily expensive fee. So every 5 years, this fee has to be studied, and there has to be a nexus, meaning we have to have projects in the pipeline that are to be paid for by this fee. So we went through this five-year study, and in fact, because we got so much Caltrans money for the Freeway 180 interchanges and all of that, the intent of COG is to reduce the RTMF fee. What that means, however, is that developers who are developing in Fresno and Clovis will pay a smaller amount than developers who develop out here in our cities. And that's because they're closer to bus stops and all sorts of various other things. So one of the items that's important with the RTMF is the Measure C Tier 1 and Tier 2 project list. And you may recall we've talked about this on the dais a couple times because we've had developers come and want to reprioritize that list and pull projects up from Tier 2 into Tier 1 so that they're funded first. So Ken Gray and I suggested, and the board agreed, that we holistically look at that Measure C list, because there are several projects on the Tier 1 list that are no longer necessary, and there are several projects on the Tier 2 list that may be important enough to the region as a whole that we want to move them up to Tier 1. But rather than do them piecemeal, as developers ask, we thought to look at it holistically along with another Nexus study in 2 years would be good. One of the rationale for this is there's a couple of Tier 1 projects that are linked to projects like Westlake in Fresno, which is the west side of 99. That project may or may not happen. So we're missing out on Tier 2 projects that could be done because we're waiting to see if a development happens in Fresno. That seems ridiculous to have the whole region wait for that. So in fact, we're going to go back 2 years from now and do both the Nexus study as well as a holistic look at that Tier 1 and 2 list. People who were involved in the original Measure C were pleased with that, so I don't think you'll find anybody who's unhappy with studying that as a whole. So that's what the mayor was referring to there.
Oh, there was one project on there I forgot to mention. They are going to be letting out the bids within, I think, about the next 90 days, or getting information out for the next segment 3 of 180 east. So that is very important and that's one of those projects they kept taking shots at that you were talking about they kept trying to move the money away from some of these projects. So.
So that was the RTMF. I do want to also point out, and it's related to COG, you may all know that Jeff Webster retired as a general manager of the Fresno County Transit Authority. He had been in place for numbers and numbers of years, and when he cleaned out his desk, he found a plaque for Mary Fast that was never given to her in support of her service on the FCTA and COG. So Ms. Fast, if you'll allow me to provide this to you. And he was very apologetic. The mayor brought it forward to me to give to you. So there you go.
Oh, thank you.
It's 2 years late, but there you go.
You have to see Jeff's office to appreciate that.
So. Oh, I have seen Jeff's office.
I think for the first time in 26 years, other people can now see Jeff's office too because he cleaned it out. I do want to remind folks that we are closed. City Hall is closed Thursday and Friday. Obviously, our essential public safety services will still be in operation Thursday and Friday, but City Hall will be closed. And then if you can flip, please, to the dates to remember on your agenda. We do have a couple of important dates to point out. On December 9th, we list a Reed Avenue public workshop. I'm going to reterm that. Instead of a workshop, it's actually a public open house. So the council does not need to meet. It's not a council workshop. What we have is the transit or transportation consultants who have been working on the Reed Avenue traffic analysis. They will be in the council chambers here, and that time is going to be from 4:30 to 6:30, and we'll publicize, publicize that in the exponent. We're going to put up the new plans for Reed Avenue, have the public come in and provide their input. I want to be very, very clear that the traffic analysis that was done shows that we do not need to move or demolish any of the palm trees, and I have already pointed that out to Tony Jewell. So no moving of the palm trees, no cutting down of the palm trees. Most of what we're focusing in on is actually Reed Avenue south of Manning. There will be reconstruction of Reed Avenue North and some work on the crosswalk that the college students take from the church across. We want to make that a safer crosswalk. But most of the work in terms of the actual street redesign is going to be south of Manning, and we'll be showing that on some maps across the board here. So that is December 9th from 4:30 to 6:30. The same night we have a council meeting, so hopefully you can step in a few minutes early, look at the plans, and then we can begin council meeting at 7. Ultimately, that public open house, the input from that will translate into plans for Reed Avenue, and those plans will be ultimately brought back to council for approval. I also want to point out on dates, we have tentatively scheduled for December 22nd a special council meeting. December 23rd is typically a meeting where we go dark. We usually only have one council meeting in December. We do have a development rezone that needs council approval or denial before the end of the year. It goes to the Planning Commission December 5th, which means it won't be published in time for the December 9th meeting because we have to have a 10-day notice period between Planning Commission and the Council. So we are suggesting to get together briefly on December 22nd for a special meeting for that rezone, and wanted to just take a quick straw poll if that seems like it might work for Council okay.
Yeah, for me.
And the 22nd is on a Monday.
On a Monday, right. Correct.
That's no problem.
And this really has to do with timing of that development project because they're looking for a grant that needs to be submitted before the end of the year, so.
I may not be here.
You may not be here? Okay. All right. Well, we'll take a look at that then. The other date item that I'd like to ask council about, we have a scheduled council meeting for January 13th. That's a Tuesday. That's the first meeting back from the Christmas break. Potentially up to three of you will be going up to Sacramento for a League of California Cities conference that starts very early morning on the 14th. So what I would suggest is we potentially move our January 13th meeting to the 12th so that we don't have three of you needing to drive up very late at night on the 13th. I would hate to think of you leaving here late at night and driving till 1 a.m. up to Sacramento. So if I could also get a straw poll of whether you think maybe January 12th would work rather than the 13th.
It'd be nice.
I worry about you driving up there late at night. Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Council. And I know that we have a couple staff members with some updates.
Mr. Mayor, Council Members, John Robertson, City Engineer. I wanted to just kind of provide a brief informational report. This last Sunday, there was a segment on 60 Minutes about infrastructure throughout California, or excuse me, throughout the nation, focusing specifically on struck bridges. And it was identified that there are 700,000 bridges that they're terming as structurally deficient throughout the nation. And there was, I think, a statement made that by the report that's kind of erroneous, but structurally deficiency doesn't mean it's dangerous and it's going to fall down. Structural deficiency can be relating to there might be just something that needs to be rehabilitated or repaired. So that's not necessarily, if something's structurally deficient, though that does sound kind of dangerous and ominous, it's not necessarily meaning it's going to have a problem. Caltrans, every 2 years, does an analysis on the 24,000 bridges throughout the state of California, and they do a report on it. And they give it a rating, a sufficiency rating, and structural deficiency is a part of that. I was curious about our structures that we have here. Obviously, the Manning Avenue Bridge had reached a point where it needed to be replaced, which is generally a structural deficiency rating of below 50. I was curious about the other bridge, the Olson Bridge, and so I looked into that. That structure was constructed in 1975, and current ratings right now is it doesn't have any structural deficiencies whatsoever. And it's in good shape and good condition. And so I thought it was just kind of, didn't know if anyone had seen the report, and I did want to follow up just to let you know that the other bridge we have is in good shape and good condition, and when this one's done, it will also be
It better be in good
safe.
Condition.
It better be in good condition, so.
So anyways, I just wanted to provide that brief report.
Great.
Thank you, John.
Any other staff have any updates? Okay, well, that was 260 minutes in a row that were very relevant to us, by the way, in the city of Reedley, because the weekend before 60 Minutes did a run on the groundwater situation in California, and one of our local well drillers, you may know them, Arthur and Orem, they were the first well drillers out at our sports park site, they were prominent in that 60 Minutes. So if anybody's curious and wants to see it, I do have it on YouTube and can send you the link, and you can watch the 60 Minutes segment on groundwater. Pretty interesting. And then, of course, this past 60 Minutes on the structural deficiency in the bridges. So some good stuff. Good stuff. All right. I think that wraps it up for us, Mayor.
If there's no further comments or actions, I'd like to adjourn the meeting.
Have a nice Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Oh, you too. You too. Bye.